This episode is sponsored in part by Viral Sweep. Thinking of running a giveaway or contest? Meet Viral Sweep, the app that makes it easy to build and manage campaigns that drive traffic and boost brand visibility. With Viral Sweep, you can engage customers through Instagram giveaways, automate winner selection, and ensure smooth prize distribution. Viral Sweep also keeps you compliant with legal regulations, so you don't have to stress about the details. Plus, you get helpful analytics and seamless integrations to make campaign management a breeze. Need a hand with setup? Viral Sweep support team and managed services are ready to help. Start engaging your audience today. Download Viral Sweep on the Shopify App Store and watch your brand grow. New customers can get 50% off the annual plan. Just tell them in the live chat that the unofficial Shopify podcast sent you. That's Viral Sweep. Today on the show, we are joined by a brand that last year did, $28 million in 2024 and will close to, maybe more than, is on pace to do $50 million this year. It's quite incredible. And what they sell is a beverage, but not just any beverage, a beverage in a space that is unusually competitive and difficult. They have, we're talking about Breeze. They sell something that's age-restricted, but doesn't have alcohol. It has, well, you know what? I'm going to let their current CEO, Aaron Nosbisch, tell us about it. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. I'm super stoked to be here. I love your podcast, and it's exciting to be on. You've had some really cool all-stars, including like Harley Finkelstein, I think, was on here, a president of Shopify, and some others. So I'm honored to be on the show.
You know, I appreciate the shout out. Okay, so let's start at the top. Breeze, what is it?
So Breeze, at the end of the day, is a feel-good tonic. We make, and not just one, now we have quite a few, actually, different drinks that allow you to feel good in a variety of effects. We're most known for our OG blend, which is a microdose cannabis and mushroom beverage. So we use low-dose THC, CBD, and lion's mane mushroom to create a happy, euphoric feeling that you feel within 5 minutes, and it lasts for about 60 to 90 minutes, which makes it very comparable to alcohol, and it's used primarily as an alcohol alternative. So people that are looking to cut back but still have fun and still find that sense of relief and enjoyment and connection and celebration can do so in a way that's generative for them and not harmful to them.
So we've got, all right, I heard there's a mushroom ingredient in here, but it's lion's mane?
Yeah, yeah.
This is not the one that makes me see colors, right?
No, maybe if you drink enough of them, but So psilocybin is what people know as like magic mushrooms. There's also a couple others out there like Amanita muscaria that are a legal form of it. There's a few analogs that are also, but we don't use any of those. We use what we call functional mushrooms, and these are not necessarily psychoactive, although they do have therapeutic and physiological benefits to them. Lion's mane specifically is the most studied cognitive enhancing functional mushroom in the market. It's generally regarded as safe by the FDA, and it's a really cool looking mushroom. It's like how you can remember is it looks like a brain, like a big white brain, and so that's how you can kind of remember that it's good for your brain. So you combine that specifically through a nanoemulsify process, so a really unique extraction and process that makes it very bioavailable, so you can actually feel the effects of it. And I find it gives me a sense of clarity, a sense of sharpness. I find that it's helpful with like anxiety as well. And so that's been my experience. And then combining with THC, we find that they're very synergistic. You know, you get more than just that THC buzz. And, you know, the thing about THC even, you know, THC is not really the same depending on how you're consuming it. You know, if you go to your dispensary and you get a joint and you like that, you're going to get a really high dose of THC very quickly that you feel quickly and kind of falls off fairly quickly as well. So those people get stoned, you know. Now an edible, you might take an edible and it's going to take 30 to 60 minutes to hit you. And then it's usually
if
you're lucky.
Yeah, otherwise I go, this didn't do anything. Then I take another. Now I'm hosed.
Exactly, exactly. And then it's like a 4 to 6 hour experience. So I'd say, you know, and they're great. A lot of people like edibles, but the troubles are just a little too unpredictable, I think. And so the thing about Breeze and kind of the whole category of these new THC beverages is that we're using nano-emulsified cannabinoids, nano-emulsified THC. And, you know, in more simple terms, the particles are a lot smaller, and because they're a lot smaller, you feel them quicker. They're more bioavailable, so your body metabolizes them very quickly. And then it wears off quickly as well. Also, due to that metabolization process, it doesn't go to your liver as much, and it doesn't turn into another compound called 11-hydroxy, which is what you typically get with an edible. That compound is a natural conversion in your body, but it makes for a heavier, more psychedelic feeling that you don't really get with Breeze. So, you know, so it's not really just like a gummy in a can. It's far more of this type of new wave of an experience, and much more comparable to alcohol's effect curve, just a little less groggy, a little less heavy. But very clear-headed, you know, like you don't drink a Breeze and like feel super inebriated, like you don't know what to do. It feels very comparable to one beer or a couple beers if you drink a couple of them, where you know you've had something and you feel nice and you have a nice buzz going, but you don't feel disconnected from the party or from each other.
What's the THC content here?
So we have a few different options. We have a small can. This one is 2.5 milligrams, which is a fairly low dose of cannabis.
That's low.
Yep. And then this one is 5 milligrams. We also have an extra strength version, which is 10 milligrams. You can tell because the black cap there. You know, and the goal was like, I enjoy having a few drinks when I'm out and about. You know, when I don't drink anymore, but I used to drink quite a bit and I really enjoyed it. And I didn't really just want to have like one drink at the bar and go home or sit in the corner. You know, I wanted to have sessionable drinks with my friends on a night out, whether that's, you know, out at a restaurant or a bar or at home with grilling or what have you. So the goal was to make a sessionable drink that will give you that buzz, something you can control the effect and, you know, turn it up as you'd like or let it wear off as you'd like. And I think that that's kind of the sweet spot of kind of therapeutic and recreational compound culture.
There's a shift happening here. One, you're able to sell this legally online and ship it to a number of states. And two, it seems, according at least to the headlines of studies I scroll past on Reddit, that Gen Z is drinking significantly less than previous generations.
Yeah. Yeah, we hear that a lot. So it's like, how can you sell THC in a can? How can you ship it? You know, like we're, you know, like your podcast suggests, like we're an e-commerce first brand, or at least we were when we started. So we ship this product to across the country to many different states, some of which don't even have medical marijuana programs. So how is that possible? Well, I'm sure many of your listeners and yourself included have seen the CBD wave that's happened over the last 5-10 years now. And essentially what happened is Congress in the US decided that cannabis, sativa, so most people know indica and sativa. Indica is like in the couch. Sativa is a little bit more energizing. A cannabis sativa below 0.3% THC is considered hemp. And so the Farm Bill in 2018 made that law. So it essentially made a variety of cannabis federally legal and thus legal in the states as well. So that's where the whole CBD boom came. They were taking hemp, they were extracting CBD out of it and then selling CBD products. But you know, the thing is people were enjoying CBD, but they weren't really getting that light cannabis buzz that I think a lot of people were hoping for or expecting, or you know, I've heard it called a diet weed experience is another way to say that.
Diet weed.
Yeah. And you know, just, but that wasn't happening. And so what people realized, the industry realized is you could actually extract THC from hemp because it's the same cannabis plant. It's just a different variety of it. And as long as as long as the content of THC was below 0.3 in the final product, it was still legal. Now, whether this was a loophole or intentional is debatable. But the reality is a $500 million industry just in the THC beverage space alone was created in it.
How long have you been at this? How did you get involved with Breeze? When did that happen?
Yeah, so I've been in e-commerce for a long time. I started my first e-commerce store when I was 13 years old, I'm 31 now, so kind of like 18 years of a traditional experience there. But I started on MySpace and Big Cartel. So, you know, I got into e-commerce way back when. Cut my teeth with a brand called Monk. It was a portable aromatherapy diffuser, and it was in the top 50 fastest growing companies 2 years in a row. It was full D2C. It was one of the biggest. And unfortunately, I got pushed out of that company. I didn't really know how to dot my I's and cross my T's, which I'm sure is a story, you know, many of us have been through in the past. And that was my real kick in the teeth moment as an entrepreneur. I thought I was on top of the world and kind of fell off. I started a few brands after that. And eventually I started a CBD brand in 2018. And I tried to advertise it on Facebook and Instagram because I had this experience with Monk and these others. And I was just running into roadblock after roadblock. You mentioned it earlier, but cannabis and hemp is probably the most challenging, if not one of the most challenging industries to advertise and market online.
Not only is it an age-restricted good, it's also, it has all these compliance and regulations and just like social hang-up that gets attached to it. And so, you know, trying to navigate that, if you have a big player in PPC like Meta and Google, their answer is just, no, we're not dealing with this. And so then what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. They don't want the additional liability. You know, it's not whether or not it's legal. It is legal. The question is they have policies that prevent it. Why do they have policies that prevent it? I don't know if you heard that recent Zuckerberg interview that he did on Theo Von, but he talked a lot about how he doesn't use any compounds at all. Like he doesn't even drink coffee. And so I think some of it, it's a little personal bias, if I'm being honest, but who knows? I think it's an unnecessary liability for them for a potential revenue. So these companies have kind of just like pushed it away while the government and these different regulated bodies kind of like sort it out. I don't think that they're necessarily anti. I just don't think that they're trying to be at the edge of it. So anyway, I guess, you know, when I had the CBD brand, I just kept running into these challenges and I realized like, wow, this is a really tough thing. And I started to figure it out. I started to figure out how to advertise these and sometimes in compliant ways, sometimes in a little bit of gray hat strategies.
Not yet regulated methods.
There you go. Well, you know, and primarily, so we were doing things like educating consumers about CBD, which was allowed. You could educate consumers about CBD, and then we would have that click over to a landing page or whatnot. So I did that, and I realized that this problem I was experiencing with my CBD brand was not just my brand. It was the whole industry. And so I started an agency that did nothing except focus on that.
What was that one called?
Lucid. Lucid. We started Lucid in 2019. So I did that for a while. And, you know, I knew I wanted to get back in the D2C game. I knew I wanted to launch a new brand. But I also, I realized some of the last projects I built before Lucid that, you know, coming and trying to start a D2C brand without much money is not always the wisest thing. You know, it's an expensive game and you need options and adaptability. So Lucid started spinning off some cash and it started giving me this perspective. You know, the thing is, by working with so many clients in the cannabis space, I was able to see kind of what's working and what's not working. And I really applied my experience in e-com and my team's experience in e-com. And then it got to a point in 2022 that I saw some of these new beverages coming out that were putting hemp-derived THC in their products. And I tried a few. Most specifically, I tried Can. And I remember thinking to myself, holy cow, this is just going to be the future of drinking. Like, it's so obvious. At the time, though, those other drinks just had THC and CBD maybe, but they didn't really have much else going on. And they felt like not exciting enough. They didn't like, you know, when you drink alcohol, you get this kind of like dopamine hit, this like happy energy, even though it's a depressant and it calms you down. Ultimately, it relaxes you. You initially feel excited.
This is even in alcoholics, you still get that initial buzz when you initially start drinking. And so that's really the thing you're competing with.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the thing is like I was saying with alcohol, you get this like happy buzz and then it kind of relaxes you. And I tried these THC products and I'm like, okay, I feel good, but I felt a little like introspective and I felt kind of relaxed, which is fun, but like it didn't really have that celebratory connection vibe as much. So I started going to some cannabis and psychedelic events and just looking for people and spreading the word that like, I think that these, you know, these alternative drinks that allow you to feel good without feeling worse are the future. And that I was building a brand in the space and that I had this ads agency and I just started spreading the word looking for some partners. And I met this guy, Travis Duncan, who came to me and he brought this really unique extract of lion's mane that was nano emulsified. He said, this is the first time that anyone's ever made this. He goes, we should use this in a drink. So we started formulating a product and went back and forth a bunch. And the first variations were not that good. They were very effective, but they didn't taste that good. And they kind of hit you too hard. You know, it was like very overwhelming. And so we just kept working on it. And eventually we got to this product that was just clean and crisp and refreshing and exciting, but also relieving. And I was like, oh man, this is it. So I decided like I'm going to launch this thing. And so on 4/20 of 23, we launched this product, which is kind of funny because it's the cannabis holiday 4/20. First I passed it out at 200 cans at a cannabis conference and people were really into it. And then we launched it online. I emailed my clients and told them, you know, hey, we're launching a brand, you know, just to get ahead of it. I didn't want anyone to feel like we were doing anything shady here and that, you know, if they, you know, wanted to keep it clear. And everyone was very encouraging of us, which was nice to hear. And then we just leaned in. And, you know, like I knew that because I was building this product for myself, and I knew that whatever part of me that I was building that for wasn't really Aaron, but more so the part of me that I think is the same in you, Kurt, the same in anyone, which is that desire to ascend, that desire to find relief, that desire to smooth out, to get a little bit of relaxation and connection. I think that that's inherent to all humans. And I think it's almost criminal that we have so few options to do that in socially acceptable ways. And so we did that and launched it, and it just took off. You know, we went from, I think it was 8,000 in our first 10 days. Our second month was like 15,000, and then 30,000, and 80,000, 200, and 400. And, you know, by the end of 23, I think in December, we did $420,000 in revenue in December, which was kind of fun.
$420,000?
A little bit of a wink and nod to having a throttle on this thing. And then 2024 was our real breakout year. So we went from 1.25 million our first 8 months. And then in 2024, our first full year, we did 28 million. And then last quarter, we did 12. So it's been wild.
Ever had a customer cancel an order because they were shopping while high, or because they broke up with their significant other? Those are real reasons customers could cancel. And they're a real headache for both you and your customers. Why should they have to email support to change, cancel, or update an order? Enter Cleverific. With Cleverific, your customers can edit their orders themselves through a self-service portal. That means fewer support tickets, faster shipping, and fewer returns. Everybody wins. Peter Manning, New York, cut their order support by 99% with Cleverific. Now it's your turn. Listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast get 50% off the Pro plan. Just $49 a month. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50 at checkout. It's less hassle, happier customers with Cleverific.
Okay, what's the hard, when you're getting, you're kicking this off, what's the hardest part here? Formulation, branding, or regulations?
Formulation.
Formulation. I guess regulations you've kind of, regulations you've already solved, and branding you have experience with. Formulation, that's the thing that's new to you, isn't it?
I've never even done beverage before. You know, this is my first rodeo. And honestly, I think if I had beverage experience, I probably wouldn't have done it, because like beverage is challenging, like very challenging. It's expensive. It's heavy. It's hard to ship. You know, it's there's a lot of like, it's really big expenses. There's not that creative ways. Like there's so much competition, you know, in the tradition. See, beverage is not really an e-commerce thing. Like people don't really start e-commerce beverage brands very often. They're very far and few between. And the ones that do exist are usually not very large. So usually it's like you have this much shelf space and you have 1,000 brands competing for this much shelf space. So it's very, very competitive traditionally. But my approach was, I'm starting an e-commerce wellness product is what I'm doing. And I'm building the infrastructure around that from my experience in e-com to be successful no matter what that product was. It just happened to be a beverage. And so that allowed us to break out in this way that we didn't have to compete. In fact, we could just support the collective category at scale by broadcasting how we were doing it, and by advertising at scale to teach the mainstream market what this product is and what this category is. And so that was kind of how we went about it. And I think if I would have known more about beverage, I probably wouldn't have done it at all. But because I didn't, we were able to break out in these like unique and compelling ways that were true to us and not necessarily the industry. And then that gave us a really good launch pad for retail success.
There is often some advantage in being ignorant of the thing you're about to attempt. And that's what I'm hearing here is like, okay, had you known more about, were you more educated on what it takes to develop a beverage product, then it would have been easier for you to talk yourself out of doing it. Whereas like, you know, you were familiar with two of three and you're like, well, how hard can the formulation be? We'll figure it out. And you did, but you know, that was an advantage in not knowing.
And it's both easier and more challenging than you think. Like at the end of the day, we're making lemonade. You know, like at the end of the day, we're mixing different ingredients together. We're making it, tasting it, make sure it comes out right. And that's it. Now, the more complicated it is, it's not really lemonade. You're dealing with big vats and large scale and of ingredients. And you got to make sure it's perfectly dosed and carbonated the right way. But, you know, I think something that that I've been blessed with is just really smart friends and like finding smart people and finding ways to align them. And so, you know, thankfully we found Travis, who is really an expert when it comes to all things making beverages and formulation. And then I have a partner and Breeze who has a PhD in pharmacology, actually. And I worked with him previously at Monk. And so he came on just to be the scientific backing, make sure that all the interactions of the different compounds we were using was safe and efficacious, which are the two things that we're always looking for, and scalable and sustainable. And so yeah, we've been blessed, man. The more I learn about beverage, the more I learn that the beverage industry is really kind of like a lottery. Like if you do succeed, you usually succeed at scale. Like, it gets really big. It's one of the biggest industries in the entire game. So it's like some of the biggest companies in the world. But the trouble is, like, 99% of beverages fail. Like, it's a very, very tough industry to get to break through. It's very expensive. You typically need a lot of investors. Most brands are not profitable for a very long time. So there's a lot of, like, to your point, the ignorance was definitely a blessing. And thankfully, we broke through fast enough where we get to the other side. And
so when you say broke through, what's the threshold there? Like, how many units, revenue, whatever? Like, how do we know, like, okay, yes, this has traction?
It's a good question. I think there's a couple of variables. One is, so like, I think after you sell 1 million cans of something, you're kind of in the game. After selling 10 million cans, I think you're kind of guaranteed a spot. I think that's kind of that's kind of how it works loosely. The trouble, though, is just like, if you prop up 1 million cans in sales that cost you, $5 million loss, like, did you really break through or did you just force it through? It's kind of and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. I've seen some really beautiful, cool brands that had good investors and good distribution, and they were able to get on the shelves and sell their products once, and they were able to get through a lot of product, but it was kind of more forced than really market demand. And I think this is what's so unique about what we're doing at Breeze, is because we have this advertising engine where we're spending millions of dollars in ad spend that turns into direct-to-consumer revenue, so we keep doing it. It's a flywheel of investment into brand awareness. We're able to really efficiently build a brand and create that awareness in the consumer's mind. And I think a way that's not typically been possible in beverage. So by the time that we are on the shelf, people already know who we are.
So, all right, let's talk about 2024. Because this is the year you see big growth. That would be year two or year three? Year two?
2024. Yeah, it was almost. So we turned two in 420. So it was like, yeah. So it was the first full year. The first full year of business was 2024.
$28 million in revenue, and you get into 2,000 retail stores, which, incredible footprint. What's the big growth driver here? I know it's like a series of things compounding, but like, what's the one you're most proud of?
I think there's two things that matter in business: innovation and distribution. So I think that we had a really great product. That was the innovation arm. The distribution aspect is that, because of my and my team's experience, we knew how to build an e-commerce brand that could fly high and fly far. And the key to that is, really good fundamentals, strong unit economics that lead to a high AOV, subscription first, right out of the gate. Really strong but simple website that's fully focused on conversion. Customers as the top priority all the time, anytime. Amazing customer service where we're giving the shirt off our back type situation. So I think that we really built an infrastructure for a really strong e-com brand that was really helpful. And then, we're all experts in digital advertising, a lot of the team. So we knew how to make, like, we were really quick with very low production, high quality content. I think that the ads that I want to see on Meta today is actually just like our conversation right now. It's like just keeping it real. Like, people are there's so much noise out there and there's so much distraction. So many people are trying to take, it's like, instead our focus was like, let's just make ads like we're FaceTiming our friend, telling them what we are up to and see if that hits. And it did. I have a bunch of videos where I'm just sitting in front of the fireplace recording, talking about like, hey, this is Breeze. I founded this product and this is what we were doing. And, all the team members do the same thing. Those, I think, were key aspects. One other key aspect is, I always hoped that entrepreneurs would just build in the public. They would just share what was working, what wasn't working, how it was working. So something that Nick and I decided at the very early days was like, let's just share everything. Like, let's tell exactly what the revenue is. Let's tell where we're spending money, what's working, what's not working. And we've been doing that now for the last 2 years, and it's been very effective. There's like,
That's what got me interested. Like, I've been watching this story unfold on X, and I'm familiar with it. Months ago, I went like, I got to hear this story. I got to share this, because had you not been sharing that stuff, had you been, working in the dark, which it's easier to do, just not post, right? This opportunity would not have materialized. Other opportunities would not have materialized.
I think so. I think people want to be part of a winning story, is what it is at the end of the day too. Like, it's like the people who do follow along, the people who give us feedback, whether that's a congratulation or an edification or a disagreement, are all part of our story, And now this podcast is a part of our story. And like, I think that we just have a broad view on that. Like, I think that You know, and really, again, it's the same thing with the drink. Like, we built what we want, like we wanted, you know. It's like I wanted to watch entrepreneurs like share how they were actually doing it. I wanted to feel part of that rise. I wanted to learn. I wanted to express. And I think a lot of people operate out of so much fear that they're so scared that if they share the revenue numbers, so if they share what they're up to, then everyone's going to rip them off. And, you know, I just don't think that way. I think it's a very short-term way of thinking. I think it's an old way of thinking. You know, like, yes, people copy Breeze because we share our information in the public. But as long as they're copying us, they're always behind us. You know, it's like, the thing is, like, we have a North Star vision of what we're trying to accomplish and fundamentally are after making the world a better place, and trust that when we do that unselfishly, that we will profit, as Ezra Firestone might say.
Hey, still struggling to increase AOV? You've built a great store, but your upsells and cross-sells, they're underperforming. That's because outdated apps rely on guesswork, and that costs you real money. Enter Zipify One-Click Upsell. Their AI-powered tech finds the highest converting upsell for every customer. No complicated setup needed. Over 10,000 Shopify stores trust OCU, and it's already generated nearly $1 billion in extra revenue. So if your upsells still run like they did 5 years ago, it's time to upgrade. Get Zipify One-Click Upsell free for 30 days at zipify.com/Kurt. That's zipify.com/KURT. Don't leave money on the table. Try AI-powered upsells today.
So Drink Breeze, it's on Shopify, drinkbreeze.com. Looks phenomenal. It's a great-looking website. And a lot of it is the branding, just like the color, typography, the can itself. Any favorite apps, features, layouts on the Shopify store?
So we use state.ai for subscription. They're really strong, really smart group there. We use AfterSell for upsells and cross-sells, which are really nice. We're using NoCommerce for post-purchase surveys. I really like those guys as well. I'm pretty sure we use Hotjar. A lot of like little things like that. But, you know, one kind of major kind of procedural process that I think I go through that I'm not sure everyone goes through with website is we're very focused on a design first build. So like, you know, when Breeze started, I first find an amazing designer that, and ideally I actually look at outside categories outside of e-commerce and look for like artists that make websites for art galleries or make websites for tech companies or whatever. And then, so find an amazing artist, then bring them in, have them design an e-commerce website with the principles that we share with them. And then you get something net new that's typically not in the market. And then we get that to a pixel perfect layout. Like I want it to be, so we get exactly where we're going on design. And then my next step is rather than be like, okay, this is what's possible with Shopify, I go and find a developer who can make it look exactly like that. No questions asked. Like, I don't want to hear that that's not possible. I don't want to hear that we can't do it that way. I want to like, how can we get it to look like that? And then let's do that. I found that that actually works. Like if you come with the designs and you find the developers and say like, I need a pixel perfect, can you do that? You know, as long as you find the right person, they usually can. So that worked for us so I go through that process. It doesn't always work. You know, we're doing like a bundle app now that's like has some crazy restrictions and bundles are kind of weird on Shopify. So I'm having to go back and forth a little bit there, but that's kind of the MO, you know, and also with the brand and design, separate of the process, like you can kind of see my video here that it's a very interesting looking can. Like it, and you know, the thing is, I like that quote that's like, people don't remember what you said to them or even your name. They remember how you made them feel. I always liked that. So like, what causes that? I think it's a variety of factors. But my thought in the branding and design of the product was like, can we make a product that makes you feel something before you ever drink it? Like, can we create an aura, an association to it, where if you just saw it, you kind of were captivated by it? And I think we did that. And I wondered, you know,
that rainbow reflection, it does.
It does something, you know. And I think at the primal level, it's like shiny object syndrome. You know, it's like, ooh, shiny rock, you know. You know, and so the other idea was like, okay, beverages are often on shelves, so or in people's hands. So the idea was like, okay, if someone was holding a Breeze, we wanted it to be that if you saw someone drinking that, you would be like forever wondering what that was that they were drinking, and kind of like have it almost be like a brain worm or an earworm, where you kind of feel like, I have to know what that was. And so that was the goal, is can we make something so curious that people just feel like the need to inquire about it? And two, can we make something that makes people feel something just by the design alone, and then follow through with that on an effect that was beyond their expectations, and very positive.
You've built something really cool in building in public and sharing on X. I saw that you met with Post Malone.
A little bit. I actually met with Post Malone's management team. So there's a guy named,
still cool.
Guy, very cool. Yeah. That was a crazy experience. So I had got reached out to by this group called Electric Feel, which is a VC arm. And I actually knew a friend that knew them, and they were telling me, like, what he was telling me, I don't know if it was true, is like, you know, Post Malone really likes the beverage, the crew really likes the beverage. I'm like, okay, cool, cool. So then he said, what do I got to do to get you to Miami? So he sent a car to pick me up. And I was thinking it was going to be like an Uber Black or something, which would be cool, you know, but it was not. It was a brand new Maybach, which is like, you know, for those who don't know, it's like a $400,000 car, like super fancy, nice cars. And so we got into that car. I got into that car. I drove to Miami, and then I met up with the Electric Field management team, which is Post Malone's management team, and had a really good conversation with them, and we're still in talks about them making an investment into Breeze, which would be kind of fun. So that was cool. So we'll see how it goes. So it wasn't Post Malone direct, but it was his people for sure.
So what's the long game then? Are you building this to sell it or run it forever, or you just don't know, which I think is an honest answer?
I think I don't have any near-term goals of like selling the whole company. I think the smart thing to do, like, I guess to that point of satisfaction, I would be very comfortable running this company for a long time. I'm 31, a young guy. I think there's an opportunity to run it for a while, and I would like to. So I'd like to run it for a while. I think the wise thing to do, though, is sell pieces of the company along its rise. So, you know, we're talking about raising a financial round now. We're looking at like a $200 to $300 million valuation today, which is pretty good.
Has it been bootstrapped till now?
It has. Yeah. I put $250,000 in at the early days. $100 from me, $100 from Lucid, $50 from Nick. And so that was able to kind of get us going. And then we've been profitable after 6 months. So we've been kind of in a green zone for a bit now. But, you know, as we get bigger and we start taking on bigger challenges, having just a little bit of capital feels better. It's a little bit more fortifying. There's going to be changing regulations that make Breeze more available in some states and less available in other states. And so having the funds to be able to navigate that effectively feels smart. So we're talking about raising some money now. And my intention is to sell, both raise some money now to put into the company to fortify it, but also sell a little bit of my shares at different tranche points along the way. And this is what I would advise to other entrepreneurs in a similar situation. It's like, you know, you might regret one day selling some of your shares at $200 million valuation if it's going to be a $2 billion valuation a year or two from there. But like, there's always the possibility it doesn't. And so being able to take a few chips off the table while still having, you know, the most of your chips on the table and investing in the company, I think is smart. So my intention is to sell small pieces at different points along the scale, but to own the majority of it long term. You know, now that being said, if someone offers me and my team a $5 billion check, I guess we'll have to reevaluate that conversation. but my intention is to run it long term and to also involve really cool people. You know, like, I think that after companies start getting to a certain size, they stop being your company. Like, you know, it becomes an artifact of society, of existence. And so I think I'm really excited to bring in the more of the right people over time.
If you were to go back 5 years ago, you're giving yourself advice, what is it?
Have more faith and trust in yourself. You know, that doesn't mean like not questioning or whatnot, but, you know, I think for a long time, I felt like I had to have this level of certainty over what I wanted or that I needed to know everything to do anything. And I think that puts you in a place of analysis paralysis. And I think it puts you in a place of like closed offness. I think when you become comfortable with the words, I don't know, you tap into the magic powers of them. And the magic powers of the words of I don't know is that the infinite possibility of what could be, in more simple terms, it's like, if you don't create the space to be uncertain, to be unclear, to operate with the unknown, you never create the space to ever know. And so I wish I had more trust and more faith and more confidence in not knowing exactly what I wanted, not knowing exactly how it was going to look or which way I was going to go, but just trusting and having faith in the process and continuing to walk forward into it. That'd be one big one. I have one other one for you, which is the concept of winning and losing. I had several setbacks in the past, whether it was Monk, where I got kind of kicked in the teeth and didn't know how to dot my I's across my T's and, you know, these different things. But one thing I learned probably over the last 5 years is that failure is a state of mind fundamentally. Like if you decide that you're going to either win or you're going to learn, then you always stay in the place of winning. It's that simple. And like, you know, I think when I stopped letting go of this idea of like, oh, I could lose or I could fail or it all could go wrong. And I started thinking instead, like, I'm going to be successful. And sometimes I might trip and I'll learn about that and how to not do that in the future so I can keep being more successful. Another way you could say that is the only way you lose is if you give up. Now, that doesn't mean you should keep running into problems and projects that are just going into the ground, but it means that you should continually be evaluating, iterating, learning, and pointing yourself and aligning yourself with success. And when you do that, you just start winning like a lot more because there's almost like a metaphysical aspect to losing that comes to whether or not you're going to decide to learn and iterate from it towards success, or you're going to sit and saturate in that failure.
Man, that's really good advice. The magic of I don't know, which like that's a thing we all have to learn, I think, especially as young adults, because I'll tell you, my teenagers know 100% of everything I tell them. But and like eventually, if you're mature enough, you grow out of that. And there's great power in it. And win or lose. Oh, my gosh. Not everything is or win or learn. Not everything is a zero sum game. Right. It is good advice. OK, I was on your site, and you got a store locator. I clicked it, and I'm in Chicago, so Binny's, our big local chain. You're in Binny's. Oh my gosh, I gotta go. I haven't been to Binny's in a while. I gotta go check that out.
We just rolled out in Binny's just recently. They're doing really well.
It's a good place. But okay, if someone wants Breeze, where could they find it?
Yeah, so you can either go to our website at drinkbreeze.com. Breeze is B-R-E-Z, as you can see in my sweater here. And you can order the order online, or on our website, there's a store locator. You can hit that store locator, find whatever shop is closest to you, and order from there. And then you can follow me along on Aaron, AaronJNosbisch, Aaron J. Nosbisch on social media, and kind of follow along as we continue to build this thing.
And I will include those links in the show notes. Aaron Nosbisch, thank you so much. This has been great. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.